Welcome to Total Development Management with Visual Studio 11. My name is Richard Irwin. I'm an Application Lifecycle Management Specialist working out of Microsoft UK. Now, today's session is mainly demo-focused, so we're going to spend most of the time looking at the Visual Studio 11 product. But I just wanted to take a minute to do a little recap of the tools lineup in Visual Studio 11. At the very center of our application lifecycle management tooling is Team Foundation Server. Now, Team Foundation Server itself is there to do a number of things. At its very core, it's a version control system. It's an enterprise-class version control system. But it's much more than just that. It's there to help you support your development process. And it doesn't force a development process upon you. If you want to use Agile, if you want to use Waterfall, if you want to use CMMI, that's fine. You go ahead and choose the process that you want to follow. And we'll take a look at some of the options there today. It also has an automated build system built into the product. And again, we're going to take a look at that during our demo. And we're supporting test case management, so great tools there for professional testers. And then because everything is stored in that one central location, we have the opportunity to report across that and pull out rich data and surface that in our dashboards. From a client point of view, if I'm a Visual Studio developer, that's fine. I can use Visual Studio, various versions and flavors, connect to Team Foundation Server, and consume that project information. But what we want to do is bring in other members of the project team, so bringing in our testers, our project managers, our business analysts, even our stakeholders in the project. More surprisingly, might be our cross-platform support. So if I have a Java developer working in Eclipse on a Mac machine, that's fine. They can still use our Team Explorer Everywhere product to consume that project information in TFS. That way, if we're making a change as a result of a bug, we may be changing some code in a .NET application, but we may also need to change some, let's say, Java web services. We can also associate both of those changes with the same defect and report against that. Okay, so what are we going to look at today? This is basically a diagram showing a standard sprint. And what we want to do is take a slice through the average agile sprint. Now, as I said before, TFS does not force you down a particular route, down a particular process, but probably most of the developers that I meet and talk to are using some form of agile or iterative development. So that's what we're going to use for our demo today. So what do we want to take a look at? Number one, we have our product backlog. We have the things that we're going to do in the project. That may be a business analyst, it may be a product owner, but someone is deciding what features we require in this project. They're deciding what extensions to an existing product that we're going to produce and the priority of those things. Then we need to decide, well, who's available to do this work? Who is in our project teams? Do we have any testers? Do we have developers? Do we have DBAs? Can we bring them in to our team? And then once we take those backlog items or those requirements, we can start to break that down to tasks, assign that to our team members, and ensure that we can actually get this work done in the iteration. Once we get into the meat of the project, we are obviously designing what this application is going to look like, and that might be architectural design, it might be user experience design, again, providing tools, providing the integration with Team Foundation Server to do those things. We're going to write some code, we're going to check that into version control, we're going to kick off some automated builds, something that we can start to test against and get feedback on, so we're going to get a release out there. So we can run our tests against that, and should we find any problems, we want to raise our bugs or our defects and surface those in the project so everyone knows that they're there and they're not being brushed under the carpet. Then we want to maybe automate some of those tests, so take out some of the heavy lifting of running those manual tests by bringing in some automation into our project. And then finally, as we go through that project, we want to report against all of that. As I said before, we have that central location with all of our information in there. Let's tie things together. It's linking things like our requirements, linking those to our development tasks, linking those to our test cases, linking those to our bugs, and linking that even to code changes that will be associated with those defects or those implementations. So we'll talk a little bit about reporting towards the end of the session. And then something that's kind of, I guess, new in the Visual Studio 11 timeframe is more support for operations. So we'll talk about that buzzword, DevOps, towards the end of the session. But once we get this code, we've thrown it over the wall, it's out there in production, how do we get that feedback about the operations? taking all that information, shoving it into Visual Studio Team Foundation Server. Okay, so let's actually break out the slides here, and we'll actually take a look at the product. And we're going to do most of this session in the Visual Studio product. So let's drop out of there. I'm actually going to start off in Excel. Now, one of the things about the Microsoft Application Lifecycle Management story is really about allowing users to use the tools that they're happy with, but consuming that information from TFS. So if I want to use some of the Office products, if I want to use Web Access, if I want to use SharePoint, that's absolutely fine. I'm consuming and using the same information as my developers, my testers, my project managers. Okay, so we're looking at Visual Excel here, and the first thing we're going to do is drop into the team menu. We're going to connect up to our Team Foundation server, and we're going to run a query to see what existing product backlog items we have in the project. So we're going to go ahead and we'll run a query. It's a shared query. We're looking at our product backlog. We'll hit OK. And that is going off to Team Foundation server, bringing those items back into Excel and allowing me to change them, to add additional ones, and essentially play around with our backlog. So we're going to add a few things in here. Let's just add a few product backlog items. And we might say, OK, let's say we're going to have a Windows 8 application. And I'm going to assign that to me. And it's going to be a new product backlog item. And then we might say, OK, well, we want to have another one. And we're going to support mobile browsers. And we can assign that to other users if we want. I've got my Demo Monkey in here as well. So that's fine. We can go ahead now and publish that back to Team Foundation server. So everyone can see that this work has been created and it's been pushed into TFS. So let's drop out of Excel. We'll not bother saving that. And we're going to flip to something that's new in TFS 11. And that is the Web Access. The Web Access did exist in 2010, but it's had a complete revamp. It's completely changed. There's a lot of agile planning tools and so on available within this. So what we're looking at here is essentially my dashboard, my home screen. And I can see some of my favorite queries of my previous build definitions, any feedback requests I've got, any product backlog items that we have. And I can go ahead and open up one of the product backlog items. Now, that's going to show me the Windows 8 app, the support of mobile browsers that we created earlier on. So the first thing we want to do is do a little bit of sprint planning. So we're going to go back to our backlog. I'm going to find these things in here. And currently, I have three product backlog items assigned to my sprint one. I may take any of these other sprints and decide that actually, yep, we're going to add that to our current sprint. This is all asynchronous. It's being saved in the background, so I don't have to wait for it to update Team Foundation server before moving on and working on something else. So what we'll do now is actually take a look at the sprint that we have and that we're working on. And what we want to do here is start to break this down into tasks that we can assign out to our users. Now, what we can see here is we have one called promotion codes. And first of all, we're going to say, well, actually, let's get a few things in here. We're going to say, let's add a task. And we're going to just call that and implement voucher code system. Again, we're going to assign it to a user. And there are other things we can do here around priorities and so on, and what area of the project that it relates to in any other description. But for demo purposes, we're just going to leave it at that. We're going to assign that to me, and we'll save off that that work item. So we now have a task that's been assigned to me. There are other things that I may need to do here. So I'm going to add a few other things in. Let's say we want to test the purchase workflow. So we're going to add that in. Assign it to, let's say, our tester. So we'll add that to my demo monkey. And we'll call that, let's say, test this workflow. And again, we'll save and close that work item. So we're just creating these pieces of work, assigning them to our users. We'll add one more. And we'll have we'll get some feedback from our stakeholders. So again, we'll assign that to, let's say, to me, and we'll save and close that. So we now have some work that we need to do. Now, one of the other things that I might want to do is get some feedback on the design. So I'm going to say, actually, I want to assign something to my development team, my designer team, really, and say, say go ahead and produce a storyboard for purchasing. So again, we'll save and close that. So we created a few tasks. We've assigned those out to our users, and we're moving on now. So the next thing I want to do is take a look at that storyboarding that our designers can use to implement the design. So there's a couple of ways I could have accessed this. I currently have this checked into version control. So I could simply drop into Visual Studio. I could go ahead and enter my team project, find the storyboard that we've already started working on. So it's in our documentation folder. Here's my storyboard. And we can see that we currently have a PowerPoint file checked into version control. I can easily access that through the file system, but we'll just open that up. And what we'll see, if we actually just hit F5 in this, take a look at what we've got so far. This is essentially the look and feel of the design of our MVC music store. I've got a few other pages in there. And really what I want to do is start to extend this. But let me show you how simple this actually is. So I'm just going to say, let me give me a new slide. I'm going to say a new blank slide. So I'm starting from scratch here. You'll notice that I'm in the storyboarding tab in PowerPoint. So this is an add-in provided through Visual Studio that I now get into my PowerPoint application. So there's a couple of things I might want to do. I can see down the right-hand side my storyboard shapes, and I might say, okay, show me, if I can spell, let me see my browser. So I've got a web browser here. I'm just going to double-click that and throw it into my slide. So without doing anything, I've now got that look and feel of my browser. I can go and change the URL and whatever else I need to do. So there's a couple of things. We've previously created some custom shapes, and that's just by making changes to existing shapes, saving those to my shapes library. So I can double-click on that, and here is my essentially my navigation pane, so I can drop that onto my slide. I've got my header, so I'm going to drop that in. Again, this is just text boxes, certain shapes, a few images thrown in there. I can throw that in to my application. I've got my footer, again, just a few lines and a few essentially text boxes. So again, we can drop that down to the bottom of our page. And now we might want to add a few things in. So what we wanted to do was add in our checkout button. So let's do that. We'll add that into our file. Let's not worry too much about where it sits at the minute. And then we'll add in our shopping cart, finally. So that's great, very, very easily. If I just hit F5 on that, again, what you can see is I've now built up a very simple PowerPoint slide that shows my users how the flow of the project will go. Okay, so we're going to go and take this a little bit further and add some animation into our application. So first thing I'm going to do is search for a click. So we want to see how our users will interact with this application. So we're going to drag and drop that in, move it into position. And now, when we move through our PowerPoint presentation, we can hit F5 and we can see, okay, here is our application. We're going to add an album to our cart. So let's go ahead, see how that click works. And straight away, we do the click, and we're in to our checkout. So very, very simply, we're starting to add this to PowerPoint. We can give this to our stakeholders, give this to our users, and they can feedback straight away on it and tell us whether that's exactly what they wanted. Okay, so let's drop out of that. We're going to flip over to Visual Studio. And we can quite happily now move on to our next task. So what we're looking at here is the new look and feel for Visual Studio 11. On the right-hand side is my Team Explorer. It's had a big revamp since the previous version. It's what they've done is tried to do a lot of work around asynchronous calls to Team Foundation Server. Basically, the Team Explorer won't do anything unless I ask it to do it. So I won't have to wait while it goes off and loads reports or anything like that. It's only going to request information that I've actually clicked on. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is have a look at my work. So I'm just going to use the hub here. Coming from the homepage, I'm going to go into my work. And I can see any work that I have in progress. I can see that any tasks that are currently available to me. And I can start to actually do some coding. So what we'll do is look at a couple of things. We have a project here. I can see that one of the things that I need to do is go ahead and implement the voucher code system. Again, this is something that people kind of worried a little bit about, the work items kind of getting in the way of me just doing version control. So it's very simple. I can add work to what I'm doing at any point during the process. So I'm just going to take the implement voucher code system task that was assigned to me, drag and drop that into my in-progress work. So now any code changes that I make will be associated with this task that we have stored in Team Foundation Server. If I flip to my Solution Explorer, we can see a couple of some of the new features that are present in the IDE. Something called Preview Window. If I click on one of my controllers here, what you'll notice is on the top right-hand side, I have a tab. But if I use my up arrow to move to the store controller, the store manager controller doesn't hang around. It's not creating more and more tabs. I'm not going to get into that position where I have lots and lots of windows open and things are starting to slow down and I can't find the code that I'm working on. So this preview window, as I move through my checkout controller, my account controller, it's just adding those in to the preview window. If it's something that I want to hang around, I can use just a double click and that will essentially leave that tab lying around for me. Okay, so let's go and make some code changes and we'll get this voucher code implemented. Now, another feature of VS 11 is this kind of streamlined look and feel. A lot of the task bars have been removed and moved. They've really tried to simplify the application. Now, I've been working on some code. I've commented it out here. And I'm going to select all of that. Now, previously, I would use the little toolbar button to uncomment that. Or if I knew the keyboard shortcut, Control, E, and U, I could then uncomment that code. But perhaps I don't really remember that. What I can do is just say Control Q. I could say, OK, I want to uncomment. And straight away, it's telling me, there we go. It's the uncomment selection, Control E, and U. And I can simply click on that, and it will uncomment my code. So it's very, very simple to go and find anything in the IDE just using Control Q, using the quick launch window within VS. Okay, so let's make a couple of other changes. We'll get this code up and running. Let's take out a few things here. And again, we'll just do the Control E and U and remove that. Great. So let's just kick off a little build here, and we hopefully are ready to go. So I think I've completed my work. If I flip back to my Team Explorer, I can look at my pending changes. So we can see here that I have currently one task in progress. I have one code change that has been recorded here for me. So I want to now check this into version control, but there's a couple of other options that I can look at. Something called suspend and shelve. If I'm not sure about this work and I want to suspend working on it, I can use suspend and shelve. It will put my code onto Team Foundation Server, but without checking that into version control. It will then allow me to go and work on another task, and later on, I can unshelve that, continue working on it. I might say, okay, I want to request a code review. So maybe I'm not sure about this code. I want someone to review it. But what we'll do, rather than us requesting a review, we'll look at some of the code reviews that have been requested from us. So let's cancel out of that. And we'll go ahead and we'll check in our code. So let's say, let's do our check-in. I can add a comment, whatever I want, adding voucher code. And go ahead and check that straight in. Now, a couple of things that will actually happen as a result of that. It's going to check in my code. It's going to associate that code with the work item the task that has been assigned to me. And you can see chainset 13 has been successfully checked in. But also, I have some continuous integration builds set up. So if I look at my builds, I have a new build has been triggered. So straight away, that is going off and doing the automated build for me, ensuring my code works with the rest of my code. So while we're waiting for that to complete, let's go back and take a look at a code review. Now, one of my colleagues has been working on some stuff, and I can see here that they've requested that I review their code. So we can take a look at that. If I open up my my code review, what it's telling me is, okay, I'm the only one that they've requested. I can accept that, so they get notified that I'm going to actually do this code review. I could view the shelf set if I wanted to take the code down, actually build it, play around with it, and even check that code in. I can access it via the shelf set. But what I probably want to do is add some comments to this. Now, there's various places that I can do, and we can see that my build has now completed. So I could write an overall comment about the code change that they've made. And I could say, it looks good. And I can save that within the code review. I can also look at the various files. So I might add myself a comment here. So add a file comment. Let's say, did we need to change this? And we can save that off there. And then we can go right down to the file level. So looking at this, what we're seeing here are the code changes that have been made. And this is the new diff tool. We're seeing this here when we're doing our code reviews. We'll also see it when we're doing our merges and when we're doing the conflict resolution. So I can look at these things. Anything that's kind of pink here is telling me that it's changed. And I can see that they have refactored a particular variable here. Did we really need to do that? Well, I can go ahead and right-click, add a comment, and say, did we need to refactor this? And add that into the code review. So all of this information is going in, and we can move down through the code, and we can see big chunks here in a second where they've added some code, and we've got a new method in there that isn't in the existing version. So I can send that back to my the people who have requested the review from me, and they can then continue working on that. Okay, so we have checked in some code. We've got some automated builds that have been kicked off. Let's quickly look at those so we can look at the builds again. Let's go ahead and we'll not bother sending that for now. And we can look at the build definitions, and I can see that the one that has just completed, we can open that up, see all the information, we can see the change sets, we can see any comments that have gone in there. So there's my change set 13 now associated with this build. We can also assign a build quality to this. So we might say that this is ready for initial test. We can assign that to our testers. The testers will be notified that they have a new build ready for testing, and they can go ahead and start working on that. But there's something else that we might want to do. That's fine. We can get our professional testers. We can have them working on this code. But what about the end users? Let's get some feedback from our stakeholders and make sure that they're happy with this build and how it's working and the flow. So I'm going to flip back to my web access here. And what we'll do is we'll request some feedback. So we'll click on that, and I now get this feedback tool. So who do I want to feedback? I'm just going to use myself here for a second, again, for demo purposes. So I'm going to add that. I can add multiple stakeholders. That's fine. I'm going to say, well, actually, we've got a new web application we want you to take a look at. So I'm just going to let's do that. We'll add it in. This is where we have it deployed. And I can add some stuff. You know, we can say, check this out. And we can say, well, the thing that we're kind of interested in here is the purchase workflow. So we can say, check the purchase workflow. And go ahead and add that feedback item. And if we want to have them feedback on other things, that's fine. But we will just use the one for now. Let's preview that. It's going to tell me what it's going to send. And if we want to add any you know, extra information. We could say, please prioritize and add that in as well. So let's send that off. That's going to send it off to my stakeholder. We'll hopefully get some feedback coming in from them. Okay, so let's flip over to our mail client and check out that email that hopefully our stakeholder has now received. So we'll just launch our Windows 8 mail client. And straight away, I can see that I've been requested from the Team Foundation server to grab some feedback and give that in to our users. So I'm just going to grab that URL. Let's grab that. And we'll flip back to our desktop. We'll launch a browser window here, and we'll just paste this in. Now, that gives me information about, you know, installing the desktop client if I want. I already have that installed, so I'm just going to launch that in a browser session. And we're ready to start working on this. So straight away, it's telling me, let me get ready to go. And we can say, let's do launch my application. Great. So it's now saying, click next. I want you to check out the purchase workflow and launch that application. So I'm going to hit next on that. And I only have one feedback item. It's telling me to check out the purchase workflow. And I can say, what do I want to record? The screen with my voice, the screen only? Do I want to just annotate this with some voice comments? Do I want to grab screenshots, attach other files? So I'm going to say, let me grab the screen with my voice. So I'll click on that. Is now starting to record my interaction with this application. So I might say, okay, well, what do we need to do? Let's go and buy an album. So as we've seen before in the prototype, let's say add this to the cart, and it looks very similar to what we expected having seen that storyboard. So I'm gonna click checkout. It's gonna ask me to log in, so let's go ahead and do that. If I can remember my password, there we go. And as I'm talking, it's recording all of this information. It's grabbing the screen recording. It's grabbing my voice recording. And I can now quickly add this in. So let me just dig in some details. I will not worry too much about that. There we go. And let's do that. Okay, we're going to throw in our promo code there. We're going to submit our order, and hopefully everything is great. That's looking good. I'm thinking, okay, we're pretty happy with this. I'm just going to go back to the store in case I want to make another purchase, and wait a minute, we've got an issue here. So as I'm seeing this, I can be saying, well, clearly there's an issue. I haven't done anything. What's the problem here? So I'm going to grab a screenshot of that. I'm going to add it in, and I'm going to add some comments to say, you know, returning to homepage is busted, and we can add that in. So as I'm going through, I can add my information, I can add my comments, I can rate this item and say, well, you know, it's 3 stars, it was pretty good, but not that great. We'll stop our recording there, we'll hit next on that, and now we're ready to submit that. So we're going to submit that back to our users. We can see I'm getting the feedback client, it's uploading my attachments, and everything is going off to Team Foundation server. So let's very quickly flip back to our Visual Studio. I can use something else that's new here, where I can actually go and search for work items. And I could say, let me find anything with the word feedback in there. And we've got a feedback response 39. That looks like the one I'm after. We'll click that up. And all that information about the machine that I'm running on, the things that I'm associated with, any feedback that I've added in there, and even the screen recording for me as well. So I can open that up. It's going to show me the screen recording. I can download that if I want. But there's all my screenshots. And now we can actually action this feedback that we've had from the end users. Okay, so that's great. We've got the feedback from the end users. We could, if we had time now, assign this to our professional testers. They can assign a new build to their test plan, and they could even do some of this new exploratory testing. Interact with the application. If they find any issues, they can grab the information about what they were doing and generate defects and test cases from that. So a lot of improvements in just the manual testing. Okay, so let's drop out of this, and I wanted to just show you something else here. Let's take a look, and we'll pop back to the slides. Okay. So we've looked at a lot of things, how we've moved information around the project, assigned it to various users. We've looked at how our stakeholders can get involved, our project managers, and our agile planning people. Something else I wanted to talk about was the kind of the buzzword, DevOps. But essentially, this is about trying to bring our operations teams and our developers closer together. Now, with Visual Studio 2010, Microsoft done a lot of work trying to bring together developers and testers, providing them with tools that they're happy working with, but allowing them to communicate through Team Foundation Server and through shared information in TFS. So a lot of that hard work has been done, but what about our operations team? Typically, we get a build out there, we throw it over the wall, the ops team start complaining because it's using certain ports to communicate, and they don't want to open those up, and they're feeding back to the dev team, and it tends to be a bit of a bun fight. If we find a problem in production, we can't reproduce it in the development environment, again, we've got these issues. So how do we increase communication between those two disciplines? And the first thing I wanted to talk about was this IntelliTrace in production. Now, IntelliTrace has been around since the 2010 release. And what it's there to do is get over that typical situation where you write an application, you add some instrumentation in there, and then you might have a log file. So if anything goes wrong, you can look at the log file and try and figure out what went wrong. But with IntelliTrace, what that will do is when the application is running and when we're testing this application, it's recording any web access, any file access, any registry access, what requests went off to the database, do we have any exceptions? All of that information is being recorded through the IntelliTrace log. So then if we find a problem, our testers may find this, we can't reproduce it in our development environment, then what we'll do is use the IntelliTrace log to essentially debug that as if we were running the application, but essentially we're taking that test run. Now what's changed in the VS 11 release is this option to use IntelliTrace in production. So if we take the example, we've got our end user, they're using our application, and that's fine, they're moving things along, and then bang, it stops working. We maybe have some log files on the server. We can grab that from IIS or SQL or whatever it might be. But we don't know a lot of information about what's happening. So we have our dev team. They try and reproduce it. They can't reproduce this in any of their environments. So the end user is getting this problem, and we can't fix it. So what we can do is essentially use a PowerShell script to turn on IntelliTrace on the server. We can then have our end users create that problem, do whatever they have to do in order to have the problem happen, and we are collecting information about what is happening in that application as we go along. Then we can turn it off again. We don't want IntelliTrace doing this collection all the time. We turn it off again. We can grab those IntelliTrace logs and actually debug the application as if we were having the problem in our development environment. So we can see if we're missing files, if we've got missing registry entries, if we're getting sort of weird values going in as parameters. We can see all that information. So it's very, very powerful to find those, not only those test issues that we can't reproduce, but those production issues as well. Sticking with the idea of production environments, one of the products in the Microsoft lineup is System Center Operations Manager. Now what this will do is manage your applications. It will collect information about how they're performing, any problems we're getting notified through the System Center Operations Manager. But what might typically happen is we have some information coming through, we have a problem in our application. The ops team look at the knowledge base, they look at this information, and it says, well, actually, the problem you have here is in your own custom application. You need to address this, you need to have your dev team work on this. And then they might, you know, send some information, an email to the dev team and say, hey, we've got this problem. And all of that information that they have as an ops team quite often will be lost. It won't get to the dev team to go and fix this. So what we can do, if we're using System Center Operations Manager, we have this information getting bubbled up into our into System Center Operations Manager. What we can do, if we need to assign this to our dev team, we can use the SCOM integration set the resolution state as assigned to engineering, and that will kick off a workflow in the background. What it will do is take all of that information out of System Center, push it into a defect or a work item in Team Foundation Server, notify the dev team that they have a problem, and hopefully they can take that information and actually resolve the issue. Then they can put out a new release, pass that to the ops team, and hopefully we don't have these production issues coming back to hurt us. So again, just trying to link up the ops team to the development team. So the last thing I just wanted to talk a little bit about was how we can report against this. So we've got lots and lots of information. Everything we do around work item tracking, tracking our tasks, our product backlog items, checking things into version control, running tests, running automated builds, deploying things, all of that information is getting pushed into Team Foundation Server. And we can then report against that. So there's various ways we can report in TFS. A lot of this stuff is out of the box. If you want to write your own custom reports, that's also fine. Sitting in the web access, maybe we want some instant reporting. We want to see our backlog. We want to see our burn down. We want to see the velocity of our team. We want to see our capacity planning. We can grab that stuff directly from web access, and it's instant. It's available to us. We might use our SharePoint dashboards. So again, all of this information is being collected. We provide out-of-the-box dashboards through SharePoint, and I can look at these dashboards and customize them as I want. So I get things like my burndown dashboards, my quality dashboards, my bug dashboards. And if I want to customize these, it's very simple to open these up in Excel, add extra fields, add extra filters, and publish those back to my dashboard. So simple to create, simple to extend. And then we've got very simply through Excel. So most business users will be happy doing pivot tables in Excel, getting items in there, and generating some simple reports. What I can do is literally run a query in Team Foundation Server, bring that information into Excel, and use the Excel reporting functionality to generate these current reports and these trend reports as well. And I can take that as far as I want. I can really go to town customizing my reports within Excel without ever have to worry about SQL reporting services or report builders. I'm using Excel as a business user, and I know how to do that. So just a little recap of what we've seen today. We've looked at TFS being kind of the center of our development team. Regardless of your role in that team, whether you're a developer, a project manager, a tester, a business analyst, a designer, you can still consume that information from TFS. We've had a look at an agile process within TFS, but that doesn't have to be an agile process. In the example we've seen, we've looked at what work we have to outstanding in the project. We've assigned that to our users and the people in our team. We've started to write some code and check that into version control, kick off some builds, run some tests. We've looked at the design of our application, and we've raised some defects and so on. So we've reported against that, and we've looked at some of the operations information as well. So hopefully you find that useful. If you want to get in touch with the UK team, you can do that in various ways. You can check out our blog on blogs.msdn.com/visualstudiouk. We're on Twitter as Visual Studio UK, and you can email us at ukvs@microsoft.com. We have a number of events coming up, both live and live meetings. If you want to grab those, you can check out the link at the top of your screen. Thank you very much.